Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. We promised the second part of the Release or Keep episode from last week. We've also got a Scottish Cup tie to preview, but we don't really know very much about that apart from the fact we'll play Fortmartin. So we'll get straight back into the Release and Keep episode. Tonight I'm joined, as usual, by Andy and Pepe, and also making a long-awaited return is Gordy Reid. Well, Gordy, you've told me that you've were listening last week as we basically culled half our out-of-contract players. We're back for a little bit more of that today. Last week, we finished up halfway through the midfield. So we'll continue on and we'll start tonight with Sam Foley. And Andy, I'll start with yourself tonight.
I would have to say, given that I didn't know anything about him before he arrived, I know nothing about him now that he's been here for several months and he's hitting veteran status, then it looks like a free transfer, move on, use the finances to freshen up the squad with somebody younger and that we're going to get a bit more benefit out of. Seeing the purpose of the deal at the time, if you get someone that knows the league well, apparently it was quite well regarded by St Mirren fans, but then St Mirren fans generally have high regards for their players, as we all know. So it seemed reasonable enough. I had an experience for very little in January, but he hasn't played, so I barely played. So, release, move on.
Scott, it's certainly not a move that's worked out. A cameo appearance from the bench against Dundee United, and that's been it. Not even featured in any of the squads since then. Not one that we'll look back on if Sam Foley was to leave at the end of the season with many memories, that's for sure.
This is the one that I've been quite disappointed about. I work with a St Mirren fan and he kind of raved about him and said the reason he wasn't playing him was because the St Mirren had really strengthened in the middle of the park, with particularly the boy McGrath. A couple of other Irish signings. Sam Foley was the player of the year at St Mirren the year previous. And I thought at the time it was a good bit of business. So I'm quite disappointed that it's worked out the way it has. What perplexed me a wee bit is, unless I've completely missed it, I don't even know what his injury is. Spoke about the cup, get into the cup. I mean, if these guys aren't fit for a game in Saturday, I mean, that's another couple of weeks that we've not played. You really need to question why they were signed. But I've said this last week, the medicals and stuff, I just find it really weird. This can happen on potentially one signing, but the fact is that it's quite a few of them have all signed injured.
Yeah, it's a complete and utter mystery. There's been new signings basically posted missing. Gordy, I think the guys have kind of covered in only a couple of minutes, really, the reasons that it's hard to believe that Sam Foley will be a Motherwell player come the 2021-22 season. Is there any case that you've got for keeping Sam Foley, or any reason how you can see him remaining at the club?
I'm afraid not, no. If anything, I could probably give you more reasons why not to. But yeah, as you said, you know, there's I think the idea behind the signing was to bring him in as a short-term basis to the end of the season, and he hasn't been able to prove his fitness or prove anything really up to this point. I think you also need to take into account his age. I think he's well into his 30s, isn't he? He's 34, is that right? So you'd maybe, even if he had, you know, played a few matches here and there and showed a bit, you would still be questioning whether it's, you know, there's worth in giving him another year anyway, even discounting that. So no, I'm afraid not. I think he's on his way.
Okay, so that's one down and one relief. The next one's a bit a difficult one, really, that being Dean Cornelius, a young player that has been afforded limited opportunities. He made his debut back in 2019 in the final day of the season against Livingston. Since then, it's been very fleeting appearances for Cornelius. He did play in the Boxing Day game off the bench against Dundee United. It was just a cameo. There's been plenty I've seen about him, and the odd occasion that I've seen him playing for the under-20s in the reserves, I think he's looked pretty good. I think he's looked like he's got a fair bit of promise, but he's not been given that chance to do it in the first team. And surprisingly, he's not been loaned out yet either. Scott, we'll go to you first here. I would give my take on this as he's a player that I would say that is certainly worth a chance. He's a Motherwell boy, he's a Motherwell supporter. If we were to be able to get him out on loan and gain some experience of playing against men, I think that would do him a world of good. And hopefully he would return ready to stake a claim. There's also the likelihood of the likes of Alan Campbell departing the club. There'll be the kind of raft of midfielders, Liam Polworth, you would expect would go. Sam Foley already mentioned there. So there might be an opening ready to appear for Cornelius. It's just all about grasping that opportunity and whether the club give him that opportunity.
Yep, I think a key factor in this is as soon as we are mathematically safe with relegation, which I hope is pretty soon, I think then we can then risk changing the team. For example, dropping Alan Campbell, giving him a rest and putting Cornelius in there when there really isn't any pressure. Yes, we still want to win the games, but for example, keep Alan Campbell for hopefully a cup run. It's hard to judge him on anything other than him being a young guy, and I think sometimes at every club, the younger guys get a wee bit more of a chance than what a signing, for example, like Harry Smith, Eddie Nolan, whatever you would say, no, just let them go. Whereas we've all got this wee bit of romance where we would love to see the next Alan Campbell coming through, and as Dean Cornelius that, and I've already, I'm like a broken record that we don't get to see close behind closed door games, rightly so, but we also don't get, we've not the opportunity for under 20, so you can't even judge them on a semi-competitive game. You're judging them on nothing really, so it's a really difficult one. But I suppose that the question is, would we keep them? And I suppose I probably would. They must have something about them. He still seems to be kind of constant on the bench, seems to have got in front of the likes of Jamie Semple. So for a gamble and a bit of romance, I suppose, then I would definitely, I'm saying definitely, I would give him a shot, or I would speak to him and say, look, you're going to have three games, this is your chance to win a contract, once we're mathematically safe.
God, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because talked about that game against Dundee United there, that was on the back of a really poor Christmas, or December really as a whole, was really disappointing. So to throw him in was a gamble by Stephen Robinson. And I don't think you could point to anything that Dean Cornelius did that cost us to lose that equaliser. But I suppose the fact that he was on the park, kind of, I don't know, it's maybe something that's cast up. Well, he came on in that game and we were in a winning position and didn't win it. So that's kind of unfairly might be cast up. But there's just not enough for us to go on here to make any sort of fair judgment on Dean Cornelius.
No, I don't think you can judge him on the back of the Dundee United game, you know, whatever it was, 5-10 minutes. Obviously, he came on at a difficult point in the game. I think we're holding on to a 1-0 lead. And to be fair, I do think he might have given away the free kick from memory that they scored from. Not that, you know, I'm trying to dig him out for that by any stretch of the imagination, because he's not played a lot of first-team football. For me, Cornelius falls into the same bracket as a few other guys, like Jamie Semple, as Pepe mentioned, and maybe, you know, the Unboy Divine as well, who made their debut a couple of years ago now. And there was a lot of talk around them, and I'm sure rightly so, but for whatever reason, and obviously the coronavirus and no reserve team football this year probably hasn't helped their cause, but it just feels like we haven't really had a chance to see them kick on, certainly from a perspective of playing in the middle first team. And as you said, you know, Cornelius hasn't been one of the ones that's been out on loan, so I can't imagine he's played much football at all, certainly no competitive football at all in the last year or so. He seems to be highly rated, and I'm, you know, there's absolutely nothing that I've seen to say otherwise. I would like to maybe see him get another year, given he's still a relatively young boy. We could maybe, if he's not going to break into the first team, although hopefully he would within that time frame, we could maybe get him out on loan and see how he does in that sort of level, you know, a lower level of football, and then make a decision on there. I just feel as though we've no, even the people within the club probably haven't got enough to go on at the moment because of the lack of football that he's played in the last year or so.
Andy, again, on this one, you're the unfortunate one that's a bit late to the party. But I don't think we've, any of us have got an educated view on how Dean Cornelius would feature in a little first team squad, just because of the opportunities that he's had have been so limited.
Well, I know as much or as little as the rest of you guys about the, you know, the potential that Cornelius has. What I would say is I've seen people that know more about him than me suggest that, you know, the lack of game time has kind of seen him, if not regress, certainly stagnate. But I'm echoing kind of what's been said already in terms of like the younger players. It's not really a kind of normal year, and if there is, you know, that covers all of them, as kind of Gordy was kind of going on to mention, that if they do have any kind of inklings that there's players there and amongst them, then we can find contracts for senior professionals that are injured for a year. You know, let's, in this special scenario that we're in just now, you know, give the kind of younger players, if we can, that benefit of the doubt for a season and see what happens there. I mean, there's kind of opportunities, as been mentioned, that if not necessarily immediate first team prospects, that next season when kind of normality returns, when hopefully the lower leagues will have a full campaign, that there will be opportunities there to, you know, give some of these younger guys, you know, additional game time to what they've had already, and, you know, it's maybe this time next year everybody will be kind of better placed to make a more informed judgment as to their capabilities and likelihood of progressing.
I think another point in relation to this, though, that just came into my head is these guys are slightly different from the likes of Sam Foley, from the likes of players that haven't come through our academy, but the sole reason that, say for example, he goes on a run, likes a Jake Hastie, we would still be due compensation if he was coming to the end of that contract because of the way that the rule is. So that gamble becomes a wee bit less. It also means it's a gamble to let him go. If he goes, now Motherwell haven't got it wrong that often, but I think that will be a factor in it.
I think that's completely fair, and we've just mentioned that we might not have the most rounded view on some of the younger players, but I'm going to feature a couple of them in this list. The next one being Jamie Semple. Now, this week I did a wee bit of reading, which is a massive step up in last week where I was discussing players that still had contracts about being out of contract and vice versa. So Jamie Semple actually broke into the Motherwell under-20s team at the age of 14. He still is only 20. No, he's not. He's 19. He'll be 20 this year. So still certainly time in Jamie Semple's sight. Made his debut a couple of seasons ago, just before Dean Cornelius and David Devine were introduced into the first team, actually. Since then, opportunities have been very, very limited. He started off this season at Cove Rangers, but has returned to Fir Park after League One was suspended back in January. Gordy, it's a rather difficult one here. As a player that just hasn't been given the chances that you would have maybe anticipated he would have got earlier on in his career, my abiding memory of him is coming on against Dundee and instantly setting up a goal that David Turnbull scored in the 4-3 game towards the back end of that 2018-2019 season. Since then, again, fleeting appearances and not much to go on.
Yeah, it's hard not to just pretty much echo what we just said about Dean Cornelius with regards to Jamie Semple. He was another, as you said, you know, he broke in. We've seen fleeting sort of appearances at the end of two seasons ago now. And considering he would only been, what, 17, 18 years old at the time, he looked a really good prospect. Maybe just to touch on the point Andy was making about, you know, potentially around Cornelius, you worry that, especially in the last year of those last 2 years, but not so much again that they've regressed, but they maybe haven't kicked on. It's a hugely important, I'm saying I know what I talk about youth development, I don't, but you hear them talk about, you know, that's 18 to 21 is a huge period in their development time frame in terms of getting them minutes and some first team football, either at, you know, Motherwell Premier League level or below that. And Jamie's another one who's probably not had a lot of that. In terms of would I keep him or not, I would probably just again go back to what I said about Dean Cornelius. Given that there's a bit of potential there that we know about, give him another year, let's see how he does. I'd imagine like a lot of the young boys will be in a lower wage than most of the boys at the club, so you know it's lower risk in that regard as well. So I certainly don't see any harm in giving Jamie another chance to get himself into the first team next season.
Andy, it's a bit of a difficult one when you consider that Semple was out on loan at Cove Rangers as well, because due to the fact their season in League One and League Two is shorter this season, the demand on getting results and instant results is that bit greater as well. So many of these teams have been having to go all out and perhaps even having to spend a wee bit of money to ensure that they're not dragged into a relegation battle or ensure they're involved in the battle for promotion. So a bit of pressure on that move to Cove Rangers. They were considered as one of the favourites for League One, albeit they were up against the likes of Falkirk and Partick Thistle in that league. So he only managed five appearances there. He got one goal. But he's ended up back. Again, what I'm kind of trying to say is I don't know how much you can read into to the fact that he didn't get as much game time as maybe as you'd have hoped at Cove Rangers.
I would be speculating if I kind of gave any reason as to what that might be. I mean, you would anticipate that's exactly the kind of scenarios that you want to put players out on loan. Either they're playing in teams that you are going for promotion and have something in stake in that regard. There is, I think it's happened, was it Devine? Was it when he went to Queen of the South a couple of seasons ago? Was it Barry Maguire even? I can't remember exactly, but it might have been both of them, in fact. But when they were kind of fighting against relegation. So those are the scenarios that you want to see them involved in. It's just such a peculiar season that I think it's just so difficult to read too much into it. And you know, it's why I think we've already said that, you know, for everyone's kind of benefit, if the finances allow, then I'd be inclined to, you know, give these guys another year and, you know, let's see how they go in terms of either a full season, 6 months at a club or whatever the case may be, and make a more informed decision thereafter. Alexander's not going to have the benefit even of the time that Robinson has spent with them before his appointment. So he's kind of relatively fresh to them as well. So, you know, Use an extra 6 months at the very least to, you know, to kind of determine the kind of direction that they believe those players are going in.
Yeah, well, Pepe, for example, should clarify two league starts and three appearances off the bench. And he also featured in all four of Cove Rangers' Betfred group stage games, two starts and two appearances off the bench. So nine in total, one goal. That came in a 2-2 draw against Brora Rangers in the Rangers derby there. The verdict on Semple from yourself, Pepe, I would imagine is pretty much in line with what the guys have already said.
It's the only thing slightly different for me for Jamie Semple, and you touched on it, was that there was big things expected of Jamie Semple. I remember him getting kind of rave reviews and reading papers and stuff about his youth development and how much a player he was. It's been really disappointing that he's never really seemed to flourish. I remember the one game that I remember being quite impressed with him was the Reserve Cup final at Tynecastle, and I thought he did really, really well. I think it was the first time I'd actually seen him playing a full kind of 90 minutes. But what I was surprised about was that he was playing in the midfield, because I always thought that he was a striker. So he's obviously moved back. But echo what everybody else is saying, it's hard to judge. And I suppose it's really going to be down to his attitude and how he's performing in the training pitch. Because he never really done it when he went out on loan. So I'm undecided in that one. Disappointed that he's not been the next big thing, to be honest.
We'll move on to the front line, and Pepe, I'll stick with yourself. We'll begin with Chris Long, who, of course, returned to the club in the summer after what was a successful first season at Motherwell, where he contributed with a lot of goals. Started the year in style with that hat trick in the Scottish Cup against Dundee, and I think we all kind of agreed that it was a positive signing when Chris returned to the football club this season. It certainly hasn't worked out anywhere near as well as we thought it would. He's cut quite a frustrated figure at times. I'll give my view on it in terms of I still think that there's a player there if we can get his attitude right. And I know that he did a Motherwell interview where he almost protested quite a lot that his attitude's fine and he's not the moody character around the place that he does portray on the pitch. But it's been kind of a handful of starts, appearances from the bench, and really just struggling for any momentum in front of goal this season for Chris Long. I think I would maybe think about ending this one and looking elsewhere for striking options.
For me, this is the most difficult one out of the whole squad. I think there is, my head says that he's, are we going to get much better than him if he's played in his right position? And I think that's a key factor. He's not really, I don't recall many games where he's played through the middle, and that's where he's wanting to be. He tells you he's a number nine. He can definitely finish. I think if he was given the chance to play through the middle, he would have been far more successful. However, on the other flip side of it, he's just his demeanour, the way that he holds himself. He looks as if, and maybe it's just the way he is, and you can't change the way you are, but I could never imagine him being a fan's favourite. And for that reason, I think that I'd probably say, do you know what? We've had a couple of seasons. It's maybe time that you went and tried somewhere else and we look elsewhere. Because I think another gear, it would just turn into same old, same old. And I think we do need that freshness. I wouldn't be totally devastated if he signed another contract. But if I'm perfectly honest with you, he doesn't give me the impression that he wants to be here. And for that reason, I think that he'll make the decision to go elsewhere. And this time I hope that we don't go running back. Not really any bad blood with regards to him. I just think that I mean, possibly for both parties it's the best interest that he is a challenge elsewhere and we get something a wee bit different.
Gordy, the story of Chris Long's time at Motherwell is that he became the kind of player that had to reinvent himself after losing his way in the game somewhat. So he manages to find his way. Then he left. Then he came back. And then he lost his way again.
Yeah, it's probably quite a fair way of putting it, I have to say. Chris Long's a frustrating one, and it's a tough one to call, because we've seen evidence, particularly or more so last season, that on his day and when everyone's aligned, he's a good player, a really good player actually at this level. But we haven't seen it really often enough, and haven't barely seen it at all this season. There could be multiple reasons, and I think a lot of the, you know, you guys have touched on them already, like maybe potentially the position he plays, maybe just showing a bit of faith in him, you know, and keeping him, giving him a run of games, 5-6 games from the start, rather than sort of chopping and changing as we've traditionally done with the front three positions over the last couple of seasons. There's a number of things that maybe would help him, but it would be a bit of a gamble to keep him on, I think, because probably the opposite of what we spoke about with the younger players. I'd imagine Chris Long's in a fairly decent wage by our standards. And there's a lot of other players out there who we maybe be looking at, or should maybe be already looking at for next season, who we might decide we want to take a chance on instead of Chris Long. So, and that's if Chris himself even wants to stay at the club. I know he's got a young family and maybe would want to be back down south. So I wouldn't say with a heavy heart, but a wee bit of frustration that we've never seen more out of him, I would probably be inclined just to call it quits with him.
Andy, we'll pass over to you.
I quite like him, but it's difficult to argue that it's certainly not worked out this season. He had many critics as it was last season, even before we really kind of came back, and it's just been unfortunate for him. He's really had a go and an extended run with a formation that probably, and a style of play that suits him best. To me, he's always been the kind of player that, you know, if you put the ball in front of him, give him a kind of clear sight of goal, then he could do some damage, but that's never really been the case. It's the odd chances that he's had, he's kind of now and again he's shown and makes you think, yeah, he's definitely, he could do something, but it's never consistent enough, or something happens and, you know, it's like 3-4 games a game before you're back around to the same scenario, and you know, there comes that point, I think, as you kind of concluded to already, that, you know, maybe it's time to go for something fresh start for all parties.
Next player we'll move on to, and Andy, I'll stick with yourself. I'm conscious of the fact that I seem to be coming to you last quite a lot. It's nothing personal, I can assure you. Sherwin Seedorf. Now, this is a player that had a bright start to his middle career and has really faded quite badly. This season, opportunities have been extremely limited, although he did have a reasonably bright spell at one point under Stephen Robinson, but again, just faded into the background.
Well, it did have a reasonable start to the season, and kind of that's maybe even pushing it a bit. You know, he had a couple of assists. I think, did he not win the penalty at Dingwall, or did he win a free kick at Dingwall, or something? And he'd an assist in the Dundee United game, something along those kind of lines. But it had a start that hinted at something, which kind of a hint of the kind of form he showed in maybe his first 6 weeks at Fir Park whenever he first signed. And those seemed such a long time ago, like when you had him and Hilton scoring goals, teasing opponents. But it's perhaps an illustration of how quickly you get found out in Scottish football. And you need to adapt with that. You need to come up with something different or a bit of variance to your game. And I think it quite quickly became apparent that you knew what you were getting with Sherwin as much the same as you knew with Hilton before him. And he's never really progressed. He's just kind of tailed off quite a bit last season. With that wee, you know, burst of form, if you want to even call it that, if you could call it that, at the beginning of this season, he had a couple of wee gentle introductions again under Alexander, but he's just To me, he's been the kind of player that he's someone that you bring on with 15 minutes to go when you're looking for a wee burst of pace, but I don't see him having developed any in his time at Motherwell. There's a bit of pace there. He's demonstrated once or twice as a bit of shooting ability if he gets in the right position, but I don't see the kind of the intelligence there. He's kind of when to go, when to stick, when to pass, when to, you know, distribute and recycle, and I just don't see it. So for me, he's one I would let go, and whether it was just paper talk or I don't know, made up stuff about, you know, championship sides being interested in January, that left me kind of gobsmacked seeing that. But to me, no, I would move Sherwin on.
Pepe, he's not featured since being hooked at half time against Aberdeen. He played from the start against Rangers in the 1-1 draw, then started again at Pittodrie, taking on off at half time for Chris Long. Managed to make up for my lack of knowledge with that bit of information for you. But that possibly indicates where he is in Graham Alexander's plans, and that's pretty much nowhere near.
I certainly think he's carrying an injury now, as far as I'm led to believe. Although, like the majority of our injuries, it's not really been made too public. But I totally agree with everything that Andy says. There is something there with him. But how long do you persevere with a player? What I'm conscious of is it just seems that every player that's coming up, they're saying, oh, just get rid of him, and it's going to be a massive call. Which then means it's going to be a completely new side. But for me, all these players have had, for example, Seedorf's had umpteen chances. And when we're playing a game where there's a bit of defensive play needed, he sells the jerseys every time. For that reason, it really should be a case of letting him go. I have got a feeling that he's going to end up staying. And if he did, I would like to see him get out on loan. I've said this before, I think he's a confidence player. But for me, it would even be a consideration for me. I would just get rid of him. Not good enough.
Gordy, you've got the casting vote here.
No, I would move him on, if I'm being honest. As much as I'd find that hard to believe, me saying that maybe 18 months ago when he first broke through, but you know, his first four or five matches, at least in a Motherwell jersey, looked promising, very promising. And obviously, yeah, we can say that we've seen evidence of a good player there. Of course, there is, but with a lot of these guys, the issue is maybe how often we've seen it, or more likely how often we've not seen it. I won't go into much of his game. I've spoke about the sort of frailties in his game that maybe haven't progressed at all in the two seasons. So, yeah, I think it's just for best for all concerned that he maybe goes somewhere where he's going to play a bit more football and he brings somebody else in instead of him.
That moves us nicely on. And the next one on the list, Andy, Devante Cole, player that hasn't long been back at the football club and has had a very good contribution, particularly in this calendar year under Graham Alexander. I think when it comes to our out-of-contract players, the top of the keep list for many would be Devante Cole.
Yep, I would agree with that. I'll be honest, I wasn't overly enthused whenever he came back. To me, much of the kind of the criticisms that were levelled at Christopher Long last season about not seemingly being that keen to be here, that was the vibes I was picking up for Devante Cole. As much as Christopher Long, which is why I always thought it was a wee bit harsh that he got it, and you know, kind of singly in terms of the question marks about attitude and demeanour and the rest of that. But he was half decent in his first spell, but he just didn't give me that impression that he was particularly keen to be here. So I was kind of surprised, and it kind of made me wonder, was is this one of these kind of, well, I'm kind of almost like out of contract, or you know, nobody else is interested, so I might as well pick up a wage. And but you know, fair play to him. He's some of these games he's looked excellent. He's, you know, finished very well on occasion. Slightly question marks perhaps about the consistency, but then we've generally not been the most creative sides on occasions, and certainly not been particularly prolific very often. So his return's been pretty good since he came back, and I would definitely look, if he's willing and eager to stay, that, you know, I wouldn't be averse to signing him up again for next season.
Gordy, it seems to be quite a good fit, Motherwell and Devante Cole. He's obviously enjoyed his first spell enough to return to the club on a permanent basis. And with 8 goals this season, it's certainly a pretty solid contribution, particularly given how poor things have been at times.
Yeah, he's been one of the major plus points, and one of the few plus points, I guess, in our season. I'm a big Devante Cole fan. I like him, and I would absolutely like to keep him. Maybe the fact that, you know, you touched on it showing how much he wanted to be here last season. Maybe the fact he's been away, and I'm reading between the lines of the fact his back was, but he obviously maybe struggled a bit. I think it was at Doncaster he went to. So maybe he's a bit more grateful of the chance second time round. I don't know. I'd be speculating, but I think on his game, and particularly since January, since Graeme Alexander's come in, I think he's been in our top three players since the turn of the year. When he's at his best, he's a really, you know, playing him through the middle, I think, in particular with the front three. He's got that physical presence that he can hold the ball up and bring others into play. He's obviously got an eye for a goal. I think he could be a really big asset if he wants to stay and wants to be here. That's probably the biggest thing. And B, if we can get some better players, I guess, around him to, as you said, help sort of make life a bit easier for him and a better for everybody involved to have a more settled and stronger starting 11, I think he could really benefit next season.
Pepe, I'd be very surprised if you went against the other two guys here, but we'll give you your say as always.
I think he's Graeme Alexander's come in, he's certainly made a huge difference, and for that reason alone, I would offer him the contract. However, I do think that the consistency is a major problem, but I suppose that comes with the majority of the teams. It feels as if when he's one of these players that when we need a fight, he just kind of shucks away. But in saying that, some of his finishing, particularly his link up with Jordan Roberts, has been really, really good. So I think it would be crazy if we didn't try to get him. But I do think there's a bit of improvement that he still needs to make, with mainly consistency, but his pace and stuff. So I don't think we would get much better for the position that we're looking for him. If he just adds that wee bit of consistency, he'd be a great addition.
Okay, so we've come to the end of the list that I've got. There's plenty of loan players, and what I'll do with those, we'll just go through them and just simply a yes or no answer, because I think there's some that are very, very obvious. We did Tyler McGlure last week, who I think is possibly the only one that would maybe cause a wee bit of debate. But I'll start with the goalkeeper on loan just now, Liam Kelly, and just a simple yes or no from all three of you.
Yes from me. Yep, definitely.
Full house. Yep.
Okay. Next one, Eddie Nolan.
Who's he again?
No thanks.
Definitely not.
No idea why he was here in the first place. So I'll make it 4 no's just to make it more emphatic. Next one, Jake Hasty.
That can't be a yes or no. I'm going to say I would try and bring him back. I know that. All right, I'll just say yes, and I'm not going to get into it. But
because I thought that would be so much of a landslide. It was unreal. So yeah, go ahead and tell us more about that.
I just think that he's a young guy. Whether it's another year's loan or whatever, I just think there's a player in him. I really do. I think I would rather have him than Seedorf, the likes of like Ross McIver, players like that. I think he brings something to the once he's I don't know if it's in his head or whatever it is. Once he gets a good pre-season in, I just think there's something there. I'll probably be in the massive minority, but I don't know. I just think that given I would start him once again we're mathematically safe. I think the last couple of games that he's played, he's looked all right. So I'm going to put my neck in the line and say I would try and get him back.
Guys, that certainly surprised me. I think that overall this loan spell for Hasty has been very, very substandard. I don't think that on the occasions he's been given an opportunity, he's looked anything like even the player that was still quite raw, but at least exciting when he was in the first team a couple of years back. The fact that he's got that contract at Rangers that lasts another couple of years is quite staggering, really, but fair play to him. He's managed to make his money. I don't see any reason for Jake Hasty remaining at Motherwell. And we've mentioned the likes of Jamie Semple, Sherwin Seedorf. I would much prefer they get an opportunity than a Rangers loanee. And the off chance that Hasty was to step up, I don't think we would have any opportunity to keep him at the football club. To me, it makes no sense.
I think the only way that I would want him was if I wouldn't probably want him back in loan now that you've said that. It would probably be if Rangers, if they could come to some sort of agreement. I don't know whether that would be a kind of definitive moment that he would, the monkey off his back, I suppose, if you like. Do you know what I mean? I think that he would maybe, well, I don't know. I just recall how explosive he was when he came on. And that just doesn't happen for 3 months. There's got to be a player in there somewhere. Whether it's with us or no, I don't know.
2 words, was Forbes?
No answer to that. I suppose it's a good shout. But you get a hell of a lot of criticism from the fans, and I can understand why. Look at the contract he's got. And I can't really blame him. I know that there'll be people listening to this thinking that I'm mental, but I don't know, I must have a soft spot for Jake Hasty for some reason.
What makes you think, and I'm not digging you up here, but what makes you think that Jake Hasty has got the desire to be willing to renegotiate his contract with Rangers and come and slum it out at Motherwell, or why would he want to, given that he's came here and been a bit part player at Motherwell? Would you not be thinking, at this point in your career, I'm not going to have the opportunity to make that much money ever again? He's possibly, I'm not going to say made for life, but he set himself up a hell of a well with that extraordinary contract he got at Ibrox. I don't think they would want anything to come between that just now. And that's no slight on, because I do not know what his attitude's like behind the scenes. I've got absolutely no knowledge of that whatsoever. But I just don't think that it would make business sense, lifestyle sense, any sense for him to try and get out his contract at Rangers unless he really believes in himself to the extent that he thinks he can get back to that level with performances at Motherwell, St Johnstone or wherever else. But I look at guys like Glenn Middleton now, it was coming through and getting the odd chance, which Hasty never got at Rangers. But he just kind of falls away. He's found out quite quickly. And now he's at St Johnstone. He had a loan spell at Hibs. I just don't have the belief in Hasty's ability to think that would be worth the risk.
Listen, I completely get where you're all coming from. I completely understand. I don't think that the terms would need to be right for Motherwell, but it also need to be right for Jake Hasty. Finance plays a big part in everybody's life, and I completely get that. Probably what I'm trying to say is that I look back to that time and been really excited about a player, and I'm grasping onto that. I'm not taking into consideration that maybe the way that he'd signed for Rangers during our season, when everything was going as well and the right move possibly then as fans would have been him signing the new deal as you had almost promised. But I still remember like the night at St Mirren where he scored that cracking goal, and I don't know, is it, Andy's maybe put a shred of doubt in my mind with saying Ross Forbes, but I just see something in him that I was hoping that he would be fine when he comes back. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I just think there's maybe too much history between him and the club over the last few years that's maybe best for both sides for him to, if he is going to go out on loan again or whatever, to do it maybe elsewhere. Obviously, we've, as Murrow fans, all seen him, as Pepe's been speaking about, you know, when he broke through, how good a prospect he was. And I think that adds to the frustration when you're not seeing it. He always had a disappointing first year at Rangers, which probably knocked his confidence. And he's not really shown, maybe in one or two wee tiny spells coming off the bench in a couple of games, but we've not seen really anything at all this season to suggest he's still the same player at the moment. His confidence obviously has taken a dip. I think next season, touch wood, obviously with crowds being back, that's maybe not going to make things any easier for him, because, as I said, you know, there's a bit of history between us and Jake, and it just would maybe make life difficult for him. I just think it would be the best for him to probably see out. I don't know if this is his last year next year at Rangers. I don't know how many years he signed, but as you say, Andy, I think he'd be a bit daft to end that contract early. It's obviously a good deal for him. If he's going to go out on loan and play, I think it would be best for him to go to somewhere else. I don't think it's be the right option for us to take him on after an underwhelming year. So for me, the best option would be for him to move on.
See, if he signs, I'm going to get him a little strip with Houston in the back and wear it every day of the year.
That'll really prove your point. That'll prove you were right.
You still got a Ross Forbes jersey?
Doesn't fit me anymore. I've put a few pun on for them.
So I had to replace it with his Bevis McGarvey one. Next guy on the list, Harry Smith.
Return to sender.
No thanks.
I'm only kidding, get rid of him.
That was a bit more simple than Jake Hasty. And the final one on loan just now is Jordan Roberts, which I would say is certainly a yes. Completely took me by surprise how well Jordan Roberts has done in the Motherwell jersey. And if the opportunity was there to keep him, I would certainly be all about that.
Too early for me to say, to be honest. I think he's had a couple of good games, but as yet, it's still just a couple of good games.
Can I echo that as well?
I would reserve judgment. Sorry, Pepe, on you go.
No, what I've liked about him is that he fits well into that front three, because I think he's more defensive. He'll come back and win the ball. But probably be a good gamble to take. I think if he continues with the way that he's been playing the last few games, then it's a no-brainer, I think. But as Andy said, the old track record comes back into it. That sounds as if I'm being two-faced, but I've just fighting Jake Hasty's corner.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd reserve maybe a judgment to the end of the season to see whether the last few games are to give us a bit more scope to work out whether the last few games are a flash in the pan or not. He's obviously been excellent the last month or so, but again, you're maybe leaning heavily on reports you've heard from Hearts fans or from elsewhere where he's maybe struggled at other clubs, but I'd just be keen to see a wee bit more of him before I offer him another deal. But there is definitely potential there that he could be an asset, but it would be probably hypocritical of me to say I don't want Jake Hasty back off the back of, you know, or other players off the back of a poor spell of form, and then be willing to throw a deal at Jordan Roberts because of a few good games. So I'd just like to see a wee bit more of him to see whether that's he's got a bit more consistency about his game.
That's kind of take me a wee bit by surprise. The remaining players on the list are kind of reserve players, stroke youth players. We mentioned David Devine. You've also got Yusuf Hussain, Ross McKeever.
He's just been sent off.
That's certainly not a particularly positive sign. Ross McKeever was on loan at Partick Thistle just now. And then one that I wouldn't expect to stay about is Harry Robinson, who we didn't get to see very much of. Obviously had a link to the manager at the time. that's not the sole reason he got a deal, but I would be very surprised if he remained at the club beyond. He came back from his loan spell at Queen of the South and hasn't been seen even on the bench since then. So I'd expect that's one that's nearing a conclusion there. We'll move on quickly and just finish this up by talking about the Scottish Cup tie on Saturday against Fermartin. Andy, we mentioned on the last podcast the game was well poised at one each. It ended up going into penalties where Fermartin prevailed. We then talked about after the podcast had finished the hilarity we had about the Hearts result. And then you think, hold on, we've got a banana skin to navigate here and can't get too far ahead of ourselves. First of all, it's a bit of a sore one that we're not getting to experience a new ground and a kind of romantic Scottish Cup third round tie. But the circumstances being as they are, we've just got to go out and get the job done. We're on the back of a poor result against Kilmarnock. We've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. There really should be no mistakes made, and this should be a comprehensive victory.
The Hearts result has actually been perfect. You would think in that it's another team that's been knocked out, but it's clear enough a warning of what can happen if you're not on it. It's pretty gutting. This is what you kind of dream of when it comes to the Scottish Cup, and especially with the circumstances as they are, that what would normally be freezing cold, kind of Inveruri potential weather. You've got, you know, obviously it's the circumstances that mean you're only playing it in April, but you know, the kind of thought of a nice wee journey up to the Highlands to watch Motherwell in the Scottish Cup this time of year is very attractive indeed, but obviously it's not to be. But the Hearts result with Brora gives out the kind of warning signals, and I'm sure that'll be drummed home. That's a game I'm looking forward to. Hopefully there'll be a stream that we'll be able to watch it. Couple of players there we've got history with in the past and their coaching staff. Paul Lawson obviously had a couple of years with us, and Russell Anderson, I think, you know, Aberdeen, not a player I particularly liked, and you know, you kinda can't help but think about that season and all the whinging that they'd done about the Craig Reid goal and overlooked the kind of controversial goal that he put in over the kind of line in the last minute to sneak a result against us or a point it was. So no, it's one great opportunity to progress and keep the season rolling on. Hopefully, as Pepe said, we'll be back at the start of your recording, that hopefully we'll have the place secured for next season, and we can get, all goes well, you can get a good chance at a good run in the Scottish Cup.
Pepe, just a handful of league games for Martin, and that was something that was talked about. With regards to Brora Rangers, they had played 3 games, incredibly scoring 20 goals and conceding 1. Fermartin have only played 2 league games and they've won both of those. They've obviously taken what they regard as a bit of a scalp in beating Annan in the previous round. Andy's completely right. We have to be on our guard. We can't get complacent. But let's face it, we've not been good enough at any point this season to get complacent. We've got a squad, though, that has got players with great experience. They shouldn't be in any way worried about this. They should be able to be professional enough, get the job done, book us a place in the next round draw. And then, well, I wouldn't dare to dream at that stage. You'd be a wee bit more optimistic for what comes next. A last 16 in the Cup. And hopefully going on to secure our Premiership status.
Yep, I think both teams will use the Hearts and Brora Rangers game as a motivational factor. That Fermartin will look at it and say, look what they did, why can we not do it? And that'll give them that extra 5%. What I will say, look at the games that we played in Europe. Now, I'm not saying that the same class or the same level as Gantone or Coldain were, but we didn't really do what we thought we were going to do. Yes, all right, against Gantone, we ended up getting scoring some goals toward the end of the game. But for the first 40-50 minutes, they were really, really up for it. You go in there with the right attitude. We can't go in and think that we've already won this. I think a good cup run is really, really important financially for the club. Hopefully get a couple of games on the TV, which would help with the current climate. Let's be honest about it. I can't see anything else other than a win, and anything other than any sort of victory is really unacceptable. You would completely expect us to go out there and have a hard first 15-20 minutes, and then the class would hopefully shine through. But I don't expect anything other than a win if we're going with the right frame of mind and the right attitude.
God, there's no getting away from it. There's no easy games at this stage of the cup, just due to the fact that there is the kind of leveller of conditions, and I guess even the travel involved. But let's face it, we play in a league where we play Ross County, Aberdeen on the regular. That shouldn't be an issue. The fact that it's a kind of almost akin to a public park, not much of an issue either, given that we've played in an empty stadium all season. It's not a formality, and I'm avoiding being overconfident, but I really would regard it as an utter disaster to go up there on Saturday and come back with anything but a place in the fourth round.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't disagree with that. It would be a horrendous result, no, to go through. The important thing is, first and foremost, we just get ourselves in the hat for the next round, regardless of how we do it. I still think, you know, they won't have a crowd there, like, yes, but I still think it'll be a tougher tie up there than it would be in front of an empty ground at our own place. We've obviously touched on the Brora Rangers Hearts result, and rightly, you know, you've spoke about how it'll be kind of like a motivational tool really for both sides. But I think, I mean, I've listened to you guys, you know, rightly in the last few weeks speak about the sort of inconsistencies and frailties at this Murrow side at the moment, and you just hope it's the guys with it, you know, we turn up the right kind of attitude and the right hedge to go through it, and if we do, we'll win the game comfortably. If we give them any kind of encouragement, then it could be a difficult or a tricky afternoon. I just hope that, I think he would probably come in back into the team anyway. I'd hopefully like to see Declan Gallagher back in, just to give a wee bit of more kind of experience and dominance at the back. If they do put us under a wee bit of pressure with sort of high balls and corners and free kicks or whatever, that we can maybe be a bit more equipped to deal with that. Look, at the end of the day, we've got the players that we should be able to sweep them aside, but we just need to make sure that the right Murrow team turns up on the day and that the attitude's right as well.
Yeah, I think you've all pretty much got it spot on there. It's a big game. I think it's fair to say that the league is the priority still, and we've made that the case by losing games such as the Kilmarnock one last time out. But we're still very much in the driving seat when it comes to having securing our own safety. And then who knows, if you get a few favourable draws in the cup, things maybe can begin to open up. What we'll do is we'll regroup next week and go over whether we can continue that cup dream and look ahead to the St Mirren game and the Premiership as well. Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely knackered. We've sacked about 10 players tonight. A few have got their futures still to be decided, and we might even keep a few as well. But thanks very much for completing the job.
No bother.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back following Saturday's game against Fort Martin. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
Tell you no, and Tramschule, Schallungslamm, wie lang sie klagt.